Teaching Writing Today. Welcome to today's episode of Teaching Writing, a podcast that focuses on some of the aspects of how to teach students to write. I was thinking about this. I taught my first writing class 38 years ago, which is a very long time. And I asked myself this question. What would I tell my younger self about how to teach writing well? So what didn't I know that I know now? I can only say that it would be a very long list of things that I would talk about to myself at that point. It's been a really interesting trip and an interesting career. But it's really hard to know where to start when you start facing that kind of question. This podcast overall, and today's episode specifically, is an attempt to make a start to answer that question. As part of this attempt, I'm going to focus on Section 1 from the Brief Pearson Handbook, a book that I've co-authored for the past 10 years. What I'll provide in the podcast is a gloss or commentary on what is in that book, a kind of teacher's manual. That reminds me that back in 1980, I worked on the instructor's manual for Andrea Lunsford's first handbook. I was working then with Cheryl Glenn, who's at Penn State University now, Jerry Nelms, and Dennis Kwan. In those days, before the web existed, we focused on a print version of the paper book, a focus that economy and technology have eclipsed. Well, maybe the advent of podcasts can add something that those printed documents could not. So, where to begin? Let's start at the start with Chapter 1. In Chapter 1, which is called Think as a Writer, we ask students to think about what post-secondary readers expect. That is to say, what instructors are looking for. Now, there's a bunch of things which are common from one instructor to another, but in many disciplines, there's different things also that students have to account for. So one of the first things we ask them to think about is, in the particular course that they're in, for that particular instructor, what are the kinds of expectations they have? One of the things we focus on is the concept of argument. The readers are looking for some kind of argument that makes sense. That tends to be a common expectation across instructors. We say to students that one of the things you might want to do is state an explicit claim, something that you're trying to argue in favor for. The second kind of thing you need to do is support that claim with reasons, and you have to base those reasons on evidence or data or statistics or whatever, but there's a whole category there. Now, some instructors in some disciplines want you to consider an opposing position. Not everybody does, so that's something that they have to figure out with your course. All instructors are looking for a well-organized document, and so the clarity of that organization has to be signaled. So you can do that in different ways. You can divide a document up into parts. In some disciplines, it's good to have headings. In some disciplines, it isn't. All disciplines, though, are looking for students to evaluate sources carefully. So as an instructor, one of the things you want to be doing is signaling carefully to students what are your positions on some of these things where there are choices, and also indicating to them that what you're looking for is a clear argument. We also talk to students about three aspects. This is based on Aristotle's thinking about rhetoric. There's three aspects to an argument. One is logic, which we've talked about in the last couple of minutes. But in addition to logic, there are two other key things. One is called ethos or credibility, and the other one is called pathos or emotion. Ethos or credibility in a student paper will often derive from their use of sources. And so their sense of being able to communicate to you that they know what they're talking about. I know that when I'm reading student essays, I'm going to read that introduction, get a sense of that. And often if it's a research-based kind of paper, I'll look at the back and check out their sources briefly just to get a feel for what kind of quality of work they've done in that area. That establishes for me a kind of a credibility. So we want students to be aware that instructors are reading for that when they're looking at their work. So one of the things we're really seeing here is students need to understand their instructor as their primary audience. Who are you as an instructor? How do you signal to students what's going to be important for you when you're reading their papers? One of the ways in which students have to build their credibility through their paper is the preparation and care that they've shown with it. And another way to understand that is to say, did they spend any time editing it? Are there the kind of careless errors that signal to us perhaps they were not spending as much time in this paper as we would like? So the whole section in the book, which deals with editing and mechanics and grammar and that kind of thing, is an attempt to help students with that editing process and the editing stage. So in talking about yourself as an audience for the documents that you want your students to write, one of the things that you're doing there is you're establishing a relationship with them. You're saying, these are the specific things that I'm looking for when I'm reading your documents. If you can provide them to me, then you're going to do better than if you obviously have huge gaps in what you're submitting to me. Now, sometimes instructors think, well, if I do that, then if they provide me those things, I have to give them an A or an A plus or something. What you need to think about instead is this, that those items that you're going to be grading for, that you want to see in a document, they can be done better or poorer. What you're going to be evaluating for is not simply the presence of those items, but the quality with which they have done them. And students will sometimes have this idea that, well, I did what you asked for. And he said, yes, you can do it, and you can do it poorly, or you can do it better. And so you're still going to evaluate on a range there. Keep that in mind too. Well, as I think about what I would tell myself overall in teaching writing, one of the key things is the approach to students. If you communicate your expectations of them through a grading rubric, through comments, a summary of what you're looking for in the syllabus, that kind of thing, or both, one of the things you're doing there is you're establishing a rapport with them, a sense of, hey, here's who I am. I'm trying to communicate with you what I'm looking for. I'm not trying to hide that. So if you're not trying to hide something, you're actually trying to help them, then their attitude is going to change too. So I think those are some of the key things that I'd be thinking about. So to sum up then, I'd be looking to establish a sense with my students of how am I going to grade their work. They're very concerned about that. And if you're clear about it, they're going to appreciate that. The second thing I'd be doing is trying to identify or provide models of the kind of writing that I'm after. So I want to make sure they understand that. Some students are going to be able to divine that through your instructions, but other students approach this in a very different way in their learning, and so they may learn from seeing examples better. Third thing I would try to include was a list of resources where they could go to get help. Sometimes that's on-campus stuff, sometimes that's online stuff, but what you're doing here is you're showing them, hey, I'm concerned about your success, here are some places you can go. Another one might be an auxiliary handbook or something like this, some kind of resources. Finally, I would consider having a peer response session for students. The reason I would do that is the research that I've been doing in the last 5 or 10 years, which really has convinced me that there's a huge amount of value there if you structure it correctly. And the way I would structure it is to take that grading rubric, give it to students early in the process of writing the document, and then use it to drive the response to each other's papers. There's two really important things that are going to go on there. One is that they're going to become more familiar and understand what's on the rubric by looking at other people's texts. And the second thing is they're also going to possibly anyways get some important suggestions for revising their document. That's going to mean you're going to be looking at better quality writing. It makes it easier for you to evaluate, and it also allows you to up the grading standard and make it more difficult, because most students are producing this, then you can say that's one level. There's other levels too. Well, this has been a good start to what I would tell myself 38 years ago. What are the things I know now that I didn't know then and that you might benefit from hearing? In the next session, we're going to talk about a lot more about audience and specifically how you can incorporate that into your teaching. The Brief Penguin Handbook is available at www.pearsoncanada.ca. You can also find more information about me and writing at wecanwrite.ca. And a link to the various texts there. Thanks for listening. I hope if you found value in this, you'll follow the podcast and share these episodes with other people you think might be interested.